Good evening and welcome to this special election edition of Making the Connection. I am Bruce Robinson, and tonight we're talking about Measure Q, the smart train ballot measure that's before voters in Marin and Sonoma counties this fall. We have two speakers here to represent the opposing views for and against the measure and the train. Cynthia Murray is Executive Director of the North Bay Leadership Council, an organization of major employers in Sonoma and Marin counties. She's here to speak in support of SMART. On the other side of the issue, Mike Arnold is here representing a group called the North Bay Citizens for Effective Transportation. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Measure Q this year revisits the same subject that was embodied in Measure R 2 years ago, a quarter-cent sales tax to be levied for 20 years to fund the construction and operation of a commuter rail service running from Cloverdale to Larkspur. That measure needed a two-thirds majority of the votes combined from both counties to pass. It got only 65% and so was not approved. So let's begin tonight, Cynthia Murray, by outlining what's different now. What does Measure Q include or admit, or omit, that is, what's different from what was presented to voters 2 years ago?
Well, it's not only what's different in the measure, it's what's different in the North Bay. And so the measure has added weekend service. They've done, I think, a vastly improved expenditure plan and really put the financials in much better shape in many ways, thanks to my worthy opponent here's pushing to make sure that they got real on presenting the numbers in a way that people could understand. But more importantly, what they've done is recognize that we have horrible congestion that's gotten worse. We're now the fourth most congested corridor in the Bay Area. Gas prices have gone up since the 2006 by almost double. And we have passed the Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006, AB 32, which is going to require us to do a lot to get back to 1990 levels and reduce our carbon emissions.
So as noted, Mike Arnold, some of these changes were made in response to the critics 2 years ago. Isn't that a good thing?
It doesn't change the fundamentals about the plan, which is that this is a boondoggle. It's a very expensive system, and it delivers very little. For example, according to SMART's own studies, we know that rail won't affect congestion on Highway 101, which is the major reason people think that they would be for the train, but it doesn't do that. It doesn't take enough cars off the freeway to make much difference, and therefore it doesn't have much impact on global warming. It really doesn't have much impact on anything other than on taxpayers because it costs so much. In addition to that, as we know, because it shares track with the freight company and their shared fixed costs, there's a facilitation of freight. They make it more likely that the freight company will be profitable, and consequently freight would make it all the way to Island Mountain Quarry in Trinity County, where they intend to open the largest open pit mine in the state of California.
So you've just summarized a whole half hour's worth of issues there in about two paragraphs.
How about that?
Way to set the stage. Let's talk about that central question of traffic and transit. One of the main rationales, as you noted, was to provide an alternative to 101 and reduce congestion on the freeway. That number that SMART is projecting, about 5,000 trips per weekday, doesn't sound like a whole lot of cars coming off the highway. So how effective can it be, Cynthia?
Well, we think it's going to be extremely effective. The number that is being used and was put in the environmental impact reports is a very low number based on the modeling that the Metropolitan Transportation Commission requires. It was when gas was $1.60 a gallon, and transit use has gone up double digits all over the place. The Metrolink rail has gone up 60% in the last 5 years. So we think with the combination of much higher gas prices, the increased need for we as employers to get employees to use transit because of AB 32, we're going to see a big increase in transit use, and especially trains, which seems to be the mode of choice. The Sonoma County Transportation Authority did a survey, and it came back that 24% of the people they surveyed said they would use the train.
So that's a bigger number than they've had before, but is there any indication that people are going to do more than just say they'll use it?
Well, there is, because if you look at virtually every transit operation, train operation, I should say, they have gone up with double digits around the state of California and throughout the nation.
So, Mike, if gas is $4 a gallon, it's going to affect ridership, wouldn't you think?
It'd affect ridership a little bit, and they studied what that effect would be. It would make a difference of a few hundred riders a day. But the point is, whether they get a few hundred riders more a day, it doesn't really make any difference. Whether it's 5,000 or 6,000, it's a pittance compared to the number of car trips on Highway 101 between Cloverdale and Larkspur, which is counted by Caltrans. It's running at about a million car trips a day, and this thing is removing approximately 5,000 or 6,000. 6,000. Actually, it's less if you account for the number of riders that would be coming from bus transit, since it would be competing with Golden Gate Transit. And Golden Gate has said they would probably cut back the service going between Sonoma and Marin County. Undoubtedly, a lot of those riders would come take the train instead. So the net effect on car trips is limited. The net effect on global warming is limited. It's just a $1.4 billion boondoggle that doesn't do very much.
You don't buy the assumption that ridership is going to go up as the circumstances change.
The reality is, the reason that these models are now imposed on transit agencies is because transit agencies have a history of making claims in order to get voter approval regarding how transit systems work. These models, obviously, they have a lot of error, but the Smart Board has been trying to push on the public that these are conservative models. They're, in fact, neither conservative nor liberal. They are models benchmarked to how humans behave. There are rail systems all over the United States. You can go and look at those rail systems, and you can build models based on the behavior of human beings regarding how do they choose to get from home to work, which is the primary reason for this rail system. And given the layout of Marin and Sonoma County, given the fact that there is very little way for people to get from transit stations in Marin and Sonoma County to jobs dispersed throughout two counties, the models show that they're going to get very little ridership. And it's a $4 million study behind behind the ridership numbers. These are their numbers, not our numbers. And their numbers show that it would only take 240 Sonoma residents into Marin County. 240. While they're pushing the connectivity to the ferry as being an important component of the transit system, their own study shows that seven trains going into Larkspur would only 40 to 55 people a day would actually transfer from the train to the Larkspur ferry. I mean, it's a pittance, and that's been the whole story for years. It's just a lot of money for very little. It doesn't deliver the goods.
These numbers seem a little hard to square with the 5,000 riders a day.
Well,
Cynthia,
I think Mike is terrific at manipulating numbers. First of all, it's not a boondoggle. One thing that we have really going for us is we own the rail right-of-way. 70 miles of rail right-of-way is owned by the taxpayers in the public trust, and it is not being used. And I don't know how many of us can afford to have assets not being used right now. That's why it's going to be one of the most economical transportation improvements we can make. It is $7.7 million a mile to do both the train and the bicycle path. And that is really good when you compare it to the Marin-Sonoma Narrows being $50 million a mile and BART being $364 million a mile. So look at $7.7 million a mile. It is very economical. It also is not just about the train. It's about the pathway. And the models there show 7,000 to 10,000 users per day. So when Mike talks about the numbers and it's so many cars, he's not talking about peak commute times. He's looking at the entire day. When we're talking about it, these numbers are based on commute times primarily with one noonday run. It doesn't even include the weekend service. And we need a transportation system. We're not saying you only need train. We're saying you need train, you need bus, you need carpools, you need ferry. We need them all. And that's the only way we're going to get better mobility in the North Bay.
Mike, you were telling me
we also need to spend our taxes wisely. And it's not just about cost. When you evaluate these alternative transportation systems, you have to look at the number of beneficiaries. And the point is, this is a $1.5 billion system over 20 years, according to Smart.
Yeah. It just went up a point while we were talking?
Pardon?
1.5 now?
It's their number. It's actually, I think it's 1.4 billion, including the bike path.
That's where we started the program.
$1.3 billion approximately just for the train.
And the quarter cent fully covers the entire cost of both capital improvements and the operating costs for 20 years. It includes a 20% contingency in all the capital costs. It includes a 20% contingency on all the operating costs. It has the numbers were done to make sure that the revenues were square with no increase in ridership shown in there. So they're really underestimating revenues and overestimating cost. And we are very confident, having had the numbers reviewed by Dr. Robert Eiler at Sonoma State Center for Regional Economic Analysis and the Transportation Authority Marin's transportation finance experts, these numbers are sound, and this is not in any way a project that can be called a boondoggle.
No, Mike, you were saying as you came up to talk with us today that the traffic was terrible. You had an unpleasant drive coming up from Marin to bed here. So if you don't like the train and traffic on 101 is a mess, what's the alternative? The idea about putting a bus track on the tracks has been bandied about. That doesn't seem like a real viable option.
You can't put a bus on that track as long as freight is on that track. In fact, you can't do light DMU on that track as long as freight is then on that track.
DMU for our listeners
DMU is diesel multiple units, and they are required under federal regulations to use what is called heavy diesel multiple units because freight is operating or planned to be operating on that track. With regard to the financial plan, people should understand that one of the outcomes of this financial plan is that the Smart Board had to admit that they can't fund 17 years of service, which is what they promised just 2 years ago before the voters. And the reason they can't fund it is because the system is more expensive. And consequently, they are delaying implementation for an additional 3 years in order to earn interest on the sales taxes. So people are going to be paying sales taxes for almost 6 years before anyone ever even rides the train.
Isn't that a function of having been voted down 2 years ago that the cost went up?
$40 million a year increased inflation because of not getting it done. And part of the reason is for the delay is that they want to be able to be cost effective and do the bicycle pathway at the same time as the train upgrades. And so that is why they are going to take a little bit longer to do the implementation. If sales tax generation was better than expected, then we could certainly move forward in a sooner period of time.
We kind of got away from my basic question, though, which is if no train, no busway on the train tracks, lots more traffic on 101, what's the alternative?
Well, first of all, the question is, what are you trying to do here? Are you trying to solve the congestion problem in suburbia with public transit? Because public transit doesn't solve the congestion problem in suburbia. It hasn't solved the congestion problem in suburbia anywhere. The real question is, if you're trying to get people out of their cars, which is a worthwhile objective, it's far less costly to expand an existing bus system that's already operating in the corridor than it is to start anew with a $450 million investment in rail before the first person gets out of their cars. And that has been our point for 10 years, which is if the objective is to get some people out of their cars, expanding Golden Gate Transit service is a much faster way to do it. Will it solve the congestion problem? No. SMART won't solve the congestion problem. Expanding Golden Gate Transit services won't solve the congestion problem. Neither will, because they're fundamentally not designed to solve the congestion problem. On the other hand, if the objective is to try to do something about global warming, or the objective is to get some people out of their cars and provide them an alternative, then it's much more cost effective to put buses that are already operating to increase service, potentially reduce fares. As we know from Spare the Air Days, they get a lot of increase in transit ridership across the state when they have Spare the Air Days and they lower the fares. It's a price-sensitive service. And right now, the opposite is happening. Golden Gate Transit, because of the budgetary problems it's having, in particular to pay for the bridge retrofit, has had to cut back service, and they've lost riders. A lot of people think they've lost riders because no one wants to take the bus. The reality is they've lost riders because they've cut service. And transit riders are sensitive to service offerings. And one of the things people should understand about this train, it only operates pretty much during commute hours, and it only operates every 30 minutes. It doesn't operate even as frequently as the bus would.
But the buses also run more during commute hours, don't they?
Right.
Yes,
and
but
if,
they operate 24/7.
If there's an interest,
almost.
then the trains could certainly run. And as someone who was on the Golden Gate Bridge District, I have to disagree, because one of the reasons there is less revenue is that people are not commuting to San Francisco anymore, and there's a certain type of person who will never take the bus but will use the train. And we've seen that over and over again, that there's a different cachet to the train, and you'll see that people will get out of their cars to take the train because they can do wireless, they can sleep, they can get up and use the bathroom. It's a whole different experience. And as long as you're on the freeway in your bus or in your van pool, you're going to be in congestion, you're going to have unpredictability, and you're going to have long commute times. You don't have that with the train.
Not with completed HOV lanes, which is what
Even
they're building, right?
With completed
no,
HOV
that's
I need
not
to
true.
Interject here and let everyone know that if you're just joining us, this is Making the Connection, an election special to Beijing Major Q here on KRCB this afternoon. The vice presidential candidates will be along to calm things down about 6, but right now, talking with Mike Arnold of the North Bay Citizens for Effective Transportation, opposing the train measure, and Cynthia Murray from the North Bay Leadership Council in support of Measure Q. Even though SMART, which is the Sonoma Marin Area Rail Transit, in case anybody hasn't caught up on that yet, is only a passenger service, a lot of the debate around Measure Q has been talking about freight, even here today. So, Mike, why freight when we're talking about passenger trains?
Well, first of all, as Cynthia well knows, Freight and SMART are connected. They're connected by law. The law that
I have to disagree. Don't say I agree when I do not.
Fair enough.
Speak for yourself.
They're connected by law. The law that established SMART also established the easement for Freight to operate on the same track. SMART also operates on NCRA owned track because it's the Freight company. The Freight
North Coast Railway Authority.
North Coast Railway Authority owns the track north of Healdsburg. But the whole purpose of the Freight is to connect to the national network in Lombard, so they got a cross SMART owned track. So the real question here is, what is the real Freight plan? Well, the Freight entity, NCRA, has gotten money from the state of California after submitting a business plan in 2006. They got $60 million. And that business plan calls for restarting freight service all the way to Eureka, and in particular, halfway up through the Eel River Canyon in the wild and scenic Eel River Canyon is a quarry called Island Mountain Quarry in Trinity County. And that business plan calls for reopening that quarry and shipping that quarry material to the Port Sonoma Ferry, where the other member of the board of directors of the freight operator, Skip Berg, has a $20 million federal earmark waiting for him if he can get that port started. So the entire plan has been about a very large freight operation. Meantime, what they've been trying to sell...
Isn't that fairly hypothetical at this point?
No, it is not hypothetical, because that's what they said in their business plan to get money from the state of California as to what would happen. The difference is what the NCRA has been trying to sell the public on down here is, oh, it's just rails. It's just a freight plan south of Willits. They have been sued by the city of Novato for having violated several state laws, including a core element of CEQA. And right now that lawsuit is hung up in court, and they're expected to go to trial potentially as early as next week. They're in settlement talks, and who knows what they will do. As far as the impacts on homeowners, the important thing to know is that depending on how many freight trains are going to operate on this corridor, there are interactions between passenger rail and freight rail. And if there are a lot of freight trains, because the freight plan comes to fruition, if they make it to Island Mountain Quarry and create the largest open pit mine in Trinity County, you're talking about a lot of freight trains. And since they can't operate during the daylight hours, they would interfere with passenger
who
trains.
Who says they can't operate during daylight hours?
Because there isn't enough time, because the passenger trains are operating in the track, and the law establishes that the passenger trains have priority. SMART has said this. They're absolutely right. The question is given how much time they're going to be occupying the daytime hours, it means if there are a lot of freight trains, those freight trains are going to be pushed into nighttime hours. They're very noisy. They're very dirty. This has been identified in SMART's own supplemental EIR, and those freight trains are going to disturb a lot of residents. And when you disturb a lot of residents and you create a lot of noise, you also reduce property values. So the properties, particularly bordering on the track all through Sonoma County, are properties that are at risk from the freight train proposal. And they're related because a vote for SMART is a vote for freight, because SMART facilitates
Isn't
freight.
That the argument that there's a lot of wrangling about putting it in the ballot measure that had to get changed?
There's enormous disagreement from the proponents of SMART as to whether or not these arguments are true. But they've all been documented in public documents, and it's one of the reasons the city of Novato sued the NCRA, because the NCRA was lying to the public regarding what their true freight plan is.
Okay, I need to let Cynthia have some equal time here.
Thank you. This is like complete speculation, as you rightly pointed out. First of all, much of this was tried to be put into the ballots, arguments, and rebuttals, and the courts in both cases found that there was grave misleading information. There's absolutely no data behind this. Whereas SMART had to do environmental impact reports, this is complete speculation with no data to show that any of these things could happen. Just because it's in a business plan doesn't make it be something that's going to occur. What voters have to understand is freight is going to happen whether there's a vote or not. You do not need a vote to have freight. the law requires freight to be subordinate to SMART on their railroad right of way, which gives SMART, once operational, the ability to negotiate agreements and actually put restrictions on freight that they would have none of if there is no SMART. And so SMART will be able to negotiate hours of operation and dispatch for the trains. There is many hours in the morning and many hours in the afternoon where the freight can run that SMART isn't running. So there is nothing about that freight will have to go into the evening. That is not at all what's expected. And they'll negotiate quiet zones, which is going to be something that we hope to see very broadly applied. Quiet zones is where you won't blow your train horn. And freight won't have to do that. SMART is planning to do that as part of their project. And they can work with the freight operators to try and even include more. One other thing is that freight cannot go south of Highway 37. This has been misled by the opposition as something that's possible and absolutely can't. As far as property values, when there is good transit, property values go up. So I want to make sure people understand that from SMART's operation, you could have an increase. SMART is a completely separate public agency with its own board. It is not affiliated in any way with the North Coast Rail Authority, which has its own board. They are two separate operations. They will be sharing a track. They will be making sure all the safety procedures are there. So SMART is going to have positive train control. They're going to have state-of-the-art technology to make sure that that single track is used in the highest level of safety possible.
Mike, my question is, all these impacts would affect Cloverdale, Healdsburg, Windsor, all the way down the track. Yet Novato seems to be the only place where this concern has got people up in arms. Why is that?
Because Mike lives in Novato?
Thanks, Cynthia. No, actually, I think it's because Novato's the only one that's actually read the public documents, and they spent $300,000 on a lawsuit to protect the rights of their citizens to know what the real freight plan is and to have a full EIR on the entire freight plan.
So now, Cynthia Rosa decided not even to put a competing tax on the measure. They were so much behind it.
Yeah, that's
They're behind SMART.
That's right. And, you know, and the County of Marin couldn't get the votes to put the ballot measure on because Charles McGlashan and Steve Kinsey wouldn't sign up for the open space fire measure for fear that it would interfere with the SMART tax measure.
But Cynthia
tried to make the point that freight is going to be up and running no matter what, and that is simply not true. The NCRA...
That depends on the lawsuit.
No, the NCRA is near a tipping point. It is not a sell... It has no separate financing. The only money it gets is money it gets from the state, and right now is borrowing money from the freight operator to pay for its operations. And the reality is if Novato wins that lawsuit, and it's looking like Novato will win that lawsuit because...
That's what the proponents always say.
Well, so far, the judge has sided with Novato all the way, and NCRA tried to appeal that lawsuit at the appellate level, and they were they upheld the court. The judge has issued a TRO saying that under state law, the NCRA is required to evaluate the environmental impacts of the whole of the project, and based on his reading of the whole of the project, he's considering that to be freight service all the way to Eureka. Now, if Measure Q loses, trust me, all the environmentalists in Sonoma County that have been staying quiet regarding the freight impacts are going to turn 180 degrees, and they're going to realize they can't get this SMART train up and running unless they take the NCRA out of the way. And that's the difference. It's all about the politics. We're going to defeat Measure Q, we're going to break the right-of-way, and we're going to take the NCRA off the tracks. SMART can then come back with a real environmental proposal, because without the NCRA on those tracks, SMART can run much cheaper electric trains rather than operating heavy diesel trains. There are multiple impacts. There are multiple impacts associated with freight on all aspects of this proposal.
So this really is more about the freight than the passenger service.
Oh, in terms of what is more?
The opposition.
The opposition is against the freight proposal because the freight has devastating environmental consequences for the Eel River Canyon and water quality in the Eel River Canyon. What's happened, and the big difference between 2006 and 2008, is 2 days after we defeated Measure R in 2006, the state gave $60 million to the NCRA to restart freight, and suddenly the equation changed because SMART was required to evaluate these cumulative impacts because the homeowners are impacted by both freight and passenger rail.
Okay, Cynthia Murray, this freight question seems to be dominating the conversation.
Only on my opponent's side, on the smart side, it is not the issue. The issue is getting passenger rail and the pedestrian bicycle pathway in place. As I said, freight will run without a vote of the people. Mike can make every speculation he wishes, but we have the support of the Sonoma County Conservation Action, the Green Belt Alliance, Climate Protection Campaign, numerous environmental groups, especially from Sonoma County, who would have the brunt of supposed impacts. They're all behind SMART. They're not making the connections. The voters shouldn't make the connections. It's tenuous. The judge said he threw it out, and I think, you know, we can say it all day. It doesn't make it true.
Mike, does the two-thirds majority that has to be the threshold that has to be reached for this measure, that was basically what you guys were able to hang on last time. It just barely fell short of that. You feel like that's a fully democratic representation?
Well, the voters approved that when the voters passed Prop 13, they approved the requirement that special sales taxes require a two-thirds vote. That's in the state constitution. And one of the reasons why you should know I don't support Prop 13, but one of the reasons why those behind Prop 13 put that in there is because special sales taxes are usually backed by local special interests, such as this special sales tax. If you look at who's funding the campaign for SMART, what you're going to find is that this is a campaign that is largely backed by developers, engineers, if you look at the breakdown in terms of the dollars that Cynthia is raising, she can't raise any more money from environmental organizations than we can because they don't have a lot of money to give in that situation. So if you look at their finances are coming from out-of-county engineers and a lot of special interests who expect to gain from this. And in particular, what's made Sonoma County very unusual is that they have been granting and building higher density buildings around proposed train stations before the voters have even approved the train. This is an inverse to good planning. The issue about TODs is in pre-existing.
TOD?
TODs is transit-oriented developments, and the idea about transit-oriented development is in pre-existing transit systems. Is building higher density around those transit nodes a good idea, and will it raise transit ridership? And the answer is it will. In this case, in order to try to get a consensus and behind the train, they're approving these projects, getting developer money behind the campaign, all under the theory that they're going to get a two-thirds. And it's very unlikely now that they're going to get a two-thirds vote. The economy is going to be dominating
everything. We've got just a little bit of time left, and there's a lot for Cynthia to respond to here, so I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do that.
Well, certainly one of the things that's unique about Measure Q, the Yes to Measure Q campaign, is the coalition of people who are behind it. And we have the support of labor, the environmentalists, business groups, the League of Women Voters, all kinds of different groups who normally don't come together, coming together because they know we need to do three things. We need to fight global warming and reduce these greenhouse gas emissions, and this is something we cannot wait to do. We have to give people another way to not have to go on the freeway. We need alternatives, and Measure Q provides the train and the pathway. And we have to help our people who commute to work have a cheaper way to get there because of the high cost of gas. It is an economical measure. It will help provide green transportation solutions, and I urge everyone to vote yes on Q.
So who is funding it then?
Who is funding it? It's a coalition. As I said, we have money from the Carpenters Union, the North Bay Labor Council, from PG&E, from Autodesk, from my organization, North Bay Leadership Council, Sonoma County Alliance, the Realtors. We have money from the Greenbelt Alliance, many, many of the other interest people who live along the rail corridor. And remember, we were built along a rail corridor. It's not a corridor. It's not unusual to see development continue to be along where we've been. I think if you look within a mile of the rail corridor, that's where the vast majority of the population is in Marin and Sonoma County.
And with that, we're going to have to wrap things up. There could be a lot more said, but it won't be said here and now, I'm afraid. I want to thank you, Sarah, thanks very much to Mike Arnold from North Bay Citizens for Effective Transportation for being here tonight, Cynthia Murray from the North Bay Leadership Council, and I gather you guys will be wrangling down the road someplace on other occasions as well, but thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Be sure to vote no.
This evening's program has been recorded, both audio and video. It'll be posted on the elections page on the KRCB website, along with all our previous candidate conversations. So check it out at KRCB.org on the elections page. All this, a production of KRCB News. I'm Bruce Robinson. Good night. Thanks for listening.